Above the entrance to the temple of Apollo at Delphi were words that could be missed by the untrained eye, yet so potent that they've echoed through civilizations. Know thyself. Pilgrims traveled great distances seeking prophecy, clarity, and divine instruction, yet before any oracle spoke, this command confronted them. It wasn't merely advice. It could be looked at as some sort of threshold that you had to cross. To enter the realm of truth, one first had to turn inward. This phrase didn't only belong to Greece. Variations of it appear across cultures and centuries, from Egyptian wisdom literature all the way up to Upanishadic inquiry, from Sufi poetry to even early Christian mysticism. The universality of the teaching suggests something fundamental. Before we can understand the world, before we can heal it or even change it, we have to understand ourselves. Today, in an age of identity confusion, spiritual outsourcing, and constant distraction, the call to know oneself has never been more urgent. In ancient Greece, know thyself was not a slogan of self-esteem or self-improvement. It was a warning against hubris. To know oneself meant to know one's limits, to know one's shadows, and one's place within a vast and mysterious cosmos. Plato records Socrates' saying in the Phaedrus, and it reads as follows, "I am still unable, as the Delphic inscription orders, to know myself, so it seems ridiculous to me to investigate other things when I am still ignorant of this." This humility, it mattered. At Delphi, prophecy wasn't delivered to those who were seeking certainty, but to those who were willing to encounter some form of ambiguity. Knowing oneself meant recognizing the difference between divine wisdom and personal projection, and also between truth and desire. Without self-knowledge, revelation can become distortion. So in this way, the maxim functioned as some form of spiritual protection. It guarded against self-deception, fanaticism, and even some form of false authority. In India, the Upanishads echo the same insistence. "He who knows the self crosses beyond sorrow," states the Chandogya Upanishad. Here, knowing oneself is not psychological analysis, but direct recognition of one's true nature beyond the ego and beyond the role. The inquiry, "Who am I?" it becomes a spiritual method rather than an intellectual exercise. If we refer to Sufism, Rumi writes the following, "Yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I am changing myself." The mystic's path begins not with correcting others, but with refining perception. The heart becomes the mirror through which the truth is seen. Christian mystics echoed this inward turn. Saint Teresa of Avila, she described the soul as an interior castle, urging her seekers to journey inward rather than endlessly outward. "The soul," she wrote, "is not improved by seeing many things, but by looking at its own self." Across cultures, self-knowledge is presented not as narcissism, but as the gateway to wisdom, as the gateway to compassion, and right action. Modern culture speaks constantly about identity, yet rarely about self-knowledge in its deeper sense. We're encouraged to define ourselves through labels, achievements, wounds, or affiliations, but seldom taught how to observe our own mind, how to examine our own motivations, or even question our inherited beliefs. And the result is a crisis of projection. Without knowing ourselves, we mistake reaction for truth, emotion for intuition, and opinion for wisdom. Carl Jung warned of this danger, writing specifically, "Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate." In spiritual spaces, this lack of self-knowledge, it fuels guru worship, spiritual bypassing, and performative enlightenment. In social spaces, it feeds polarization, moral certainty, and even burnout. The ancient warning at Delphi, it feels uncannily contemporary. One of the most misunderstood aspects of know thyself is the assumption that it means endlessly analyzing or improving the personality. The ancient and mystical traditions, they suggest something a little bit subtler and more demanding. To know oneself is not to perfect the ego, but to see through it. The Tao Te Ching teaches the following, "Knowing others is intelligence. Knowing yourself is true wisdom. Mastering others is strength. but mastering yourself is true power. Self-knowledge is not domination. It's clarity. It's the ability to witness fear without being ruled by it, desire without being consumed by it, and belief without mistaking it for absolute truth. This kind of knowing requires stillness, honesty, and even courage. It dismantles comforting illusions. It asks us to confront ways to seek validation, control, or even certainty. When self-knowledge deepens, behavior changes naturally. We become less reactive, less compelled to prove, less dependent on external authority. Ethics arise not necessarily from rules, but from our awareness, and compassion becomes possible because we recognize our own contradictions and others. We could say that the Buddha articulated this quite clearly by saying, "You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection." This isn't mere indulgence, it's recognition. When we see ourselves clearly without denial or dramatization, we can respond to life with discernment rather than compulsion. Self-knowledge, it also restores our agency. So instead of asking endlessly what other people think, what they believe, or what they demand, we begin to ask what is true for us, what aligns with our conscience, and what actions emerge from integrity rather than fear. We live in a time of collective disorientation. Institutions are losing their credibility. Information is abundant, but wisdom is quite scarce. Many people are searching for meaning while outsourcing authority to ideologies, to leaders, or even to spiritual figures. Know thyself is a corrective to this imbalance. It specifically decentralizes wisdom. It returns responsibility to the individual without isolating them from the community. It insists that no system, teacher, or even a doctrine can replace the work of self-examination. The Delphic maxim, it doesn't reject guidance or tradition. It insists that all guidance must pass through self-awareness. Without it, power corrupts, devotion becomes dependency, and spirituality becomes performance. To live this teaching today is not necessarily to retreat from the world, but to engage it consciously. It means cultivating practices that foster awareness, such as reflection, meditation, honest conversation, creative expression, and even ethical inquiry. It means asking uncomfortable questions about our own motivations, our own biases, and our own fears. It also means resisting the urge to define ourselves way too quickly. Self-knowledge unfolds over time. It requires patience, humility, and having this willingness to want to change. As the Greek philosopher Heraclitus observed, no man ever steps in the same river twice. To know oneself is to remain open to transformation. So imagine standing at the entrance of the Temple of Apollo, seeking answers about love, purpose, or even your own destiny. Before any oracle speaks, the inscription meets your gaze. Know thyself. It doesn't promise you certainty, but it does offer some responsibility. This teaching has survived because it is inexhaustible. Every stage of life reveals a different layer of the self that needs to be known, to be questioned, and even integrated. To know oneself is not to arrive at a final answer, but to enter a lifelong dialogue with truth. In a world that's eager to tell us who we are, what to believe, and how to live, the Delphic maxim remains quietly revolutionary. It invites us to pause, to turn inward, and even to recognize that the deepest wisdom doesn't arrive from outside sources, but it emerges from when we're willing to see ourselves clearly. And I would argue that now, as much as ever, this moment, it calls for this ancient type of courage. To know thyself is not a retreat from responsibility. It's the foundation of living wisely, living ethically, and authentically in a world that desperately needs all of these. Everyone, I hope this was helpful in some capacity today and that you enjoyed today's episode. As always, thank you for listening, and please take care of yourselves and have a good week ahead.